Hey, it's Tax Quips time from TaxMama.com. Today, Tax Mama sits here scouring the news sites for tangible information about the legislature's voting over the weekend. So what's the final score on the $700 million bailout? And what else went down while we were caught napping? First of all, the California NATP banquet and festivities were interrupted on Friday evening with all the attendees glued to their seats watching the presidential candidates debate on Carol Thomas's big-screen laptop. What a great picture! It was clear that neither candidate had contributed one original thought or helpful idea to help with the bailout issue. If they can't come up with their own ideas, why hasn't either candidate tapped Aaron Sorkin and his West Wing team? They did brilliant work on the television series presenting legislation and solution to problems. In fact, they wrote the most powerful speech for Michael Douglas and the American president. Or what about Gary Ross, who wrote movie Dave? Ross came up with a very sensible set of fiscal solutions delivered by the schleppy CPA played so well by Charles Grodin. Which brings us to the bailout. Consider reading it. Florida Enrolled Agent Steve Odom sent me a link to last night's House Committee on Financial Services press release with links to the new bailout bill. It's called the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008, or ESA. Here's the link. If you read the summary, you see insurance for companies with troubled assets, homeownership preservation providing hope with tools to help homeowners keep their nearly defaulted homes, taxpayer sharing in Wall Street profits and windfalls via warrants, giving the feds a share of the profits without effectively nationalizing the business. It cuts golden parachutes for executives and requires unearned bonuses to be returned and with limits to executive compensation. It doles out the funds over time, giving the legislature veto power over the next two installments, and establishes an inspector general to protect against waste, fraud, and abuse. It all sounds very ambitious. Wonderful. Let's look a little deeper, shall we, at the provision for executive compensation that seems to provide such powerful safeguards. That's Section 111 of the bill. Let's look at the section-by-section summary on page 3. It says, where the Treasury buys assets directly, the institution must observe standards limiting incentives, allowing clawback, and prohibiting golden parachutes. When Treasury buys assets at auction, an institution that has sold more than $300 million in assets is subject to additional taxes, including a 20% excise tax on golden parachute payments triggered by events other than retirement, and tax deduction limits for compensation limits above $500,000. And I was willing to allow up to $2 million in compensation for the executives. It looks like the legislators are tighter than I am. Or are they? Well, first of all, they're not limiting the compensation to $500,000. They're only limiting the tax deduction to $500,000. The companies can still pay their executives anything they like. Second, the standards are only good for the duration of the secretary's interest in the assets or the equity of the company. Then there is a position requiring the executives to pay back any bonuses based on inaccurate financial reports, and there are to be no golden parachute payments. These provisions, though, only apply to the top five executives of the company. Other executives can continue to receive excessive compensation. And there is no requirement that they pay back any compensation received that brought us to this crisis. They get to keep the millions of dollars in salary, stock options, bonuses, etc. Congress didn't have the guts to insist that before bailout money was provided, those executives who benefited, even those who received golden handshakes and walked away, would have to return their bonuses and benefits. Now, here's the kicker. The rules are effective 2 months from the date that the secretary issues specific guidelines. In other words, the companies can get their money now, go on a wage feeding frenzy until the secretary issues rules. And the authority will expire on December 31st, 2009. What is that? Barely a year? Just one? And they get to waive their incomes for only a year? Boy, I'm terrified. Quaking in my financial boots. Although Congress may extend the authority for two more years. Folks, this was neither a masterful stroke of wisdom nor leadership on anyone's part. It was obvious that the problem was coming years in advance. There was plenty of time to fix the problem at no cost to the government or stockholders. The only three things the government had to do was, one, put a stop to the subprime loan frenzy and set guidelines on qualifications for borrowing. 2. Put clear disclosures on the packaging of loans so that investors were provided with the real risk factors of the loan packages they were buying. 3. Insist that the owners and packagers of the loans they sold must renegotiate the loans with the borrowers so they could afford to keep the homes they'd bought without ending up in foreclosure. The houses wouldn't have hit the market, bringing the real estate market down or the stock market. The loan packages would have been worth less, true, but not worthless. Investors would have lost some money, not all. We'd be fine now. I still don't see those specific kinds of details in the bills. Do you? Well, here's the link to the whole bailout bill. Please read it yourself and give us your impression and your feedback. I only touched on a small part of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. Let's see what you think of it. And remember, you can find answers to all kinds of questions about financial legislative issues and other tax issues free. Where else? At taxmama.com.